Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 99-88-99. Just madness. This was at SFSU. San Francisco. Riley Gaines, the swimmer who competed against Leah Thomas. That's, she was speaking literally about saving women's sports. And a violent, a completely violent trans mob, trans activist mob descended upon her. She was hit twice by a man in a dress. And then there's even more. It's crazy because they held her hostage. And there's video of that too. Just wild. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday to you. Dana Lash here to start off the top of this first hour. And this was last night. I mean, at what point, is this what Corinne Jean-Pierre meant when she said that trans youth need to fight back? I think it's a legitimate question. Is that what she meant? Because she said, when did she say that actually, Kane? Do you remember? That was just, yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was maybe yesterday. I think you're right. Where, I'm pulling this up, where she had said, yes, trans youth need to fight back, etc. And it seems like, I guess this is this what she had in mind? I mean, it's a legitimate question. I'm also curious as to when the chant that trans rights or human rights or whatever, what rights do they lack?
That's a great question.
Well, I mean, I'm not convinced that they're the most protected class of people in the country. What rights do they not have? Because all I saw was the right of a woman to not speak freely. All I saw was the right of a woman to leave, denied by a violent mob. I guess violence against women is okay when it's done by a man in a dress. And where's the left on this? Silent or defending? That's it. That's it. They're either silent or defending. I mean, it just really is wild to me. So there's a lot of stuff that we have. We've been looking at everything through this perspective of a three-pronged attack on the stability of the United States, which overall affects the security of the United States. And in looking at, I mean, we've been discussing the influence abroad and American influence, American unity, American economy, all of these make up a national security concern. And you have this situation, which we're going to talk more about, the trans mob attack. Then you have what happened in Tennessee yesterday evening. If you guys saw some of this, this was amazing. There were a number of, we talked about the insurrection in the Tennessee Capitol, right? And there were a number, as a result of breaking the rules of the Tennessee State House, there are consequences for violating the rules of the Tennessee State House. And the consequences of violating the rules of the Tennessee State House is that the Tennessee State House may vote to expel you from the Tennessee State House. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. I mean, they had the lawmakers come together. These Democrats weren't peacefully protesting. They literally led a violent mob into the Capitol that was fighting with police. And everyone wants to try to portray this as, oh, well, this was a peaceful protest. No, it wasn't. I watched police get shoved and everything else. Come on. And of course, they wanted to make it absolutely everything about race. It had nothing to do with race. Audio soundbite 4. This is one of those representatives who is dismissed.
See today is a lynch mob assembled to not lynch me, but our democratic process. We called for you all to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy.
Oh, it was not an assault on democracy, for the love of all things holy. The assault on democracy came when these lawmakers led a bunch of violent rioters right into the Capitol, and then they shut down the legislative process. They created a disturbance. They fought with security. They were screaming and harassing lawmakers. That was an insurrection. I was told that. Or wait, is the left changed their mind? When people storm capitals, is that okay now?
That's D, different.
Oh, that's right. It's D, different. See, that's... I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I think last night, I always laugh when I hear everyone use this phrase. Oh, this is the point of no return. We've passed we've gone beyond the Rubicon. We've crossed the Rubicon. That's what I always laugh because I feel like that's such a dramatic phrase. And the people that I see that say it, I'm like, oh gosh, this is so hokey. I'm just cringing to death. Last night though, gave me some feels, I got to say. Because all of this stuff was happening simultaneously, right? I mean, you had Tennessee voting to... This was the penalty for doing what these lawmakers did. I mean, there are consequences for your choices. And this was not a peaceful protest. I know peaceful protests. I've been part of peaceful protests. I've organized peaceful protests. I've been in the streets helping to lead peaceful protests. And I also know riots because I've seen them. Peaceful protesters don't push and shove and assault police. Peaceful protesters don't stampede into the Capitol building and disrupt the legislative process. Unless Democrats now are changing everything that they've ever said about J6, you know, I'm just saying that didn't look like no peaceful protest. That straight up looked like an insurrection. That was a coup. I mean, these are your rules. I am so damn tired of this nonsense. I'm so tired of it. I'm not going to be lectured by any of these jackwagons, not a single one of them, and nor should you. When you break the rules, there are consequences. If you don't like it, don't break the rules. It's a pretty easy flow chart if you want to picture it in your mind. Asinine. And I'm going to tell you this stuff with Riley Gaines. If a man had hit me, I would have beat his ass. Some of us don't go quietly into that good night. Watching that, to see a woman cower down. Where's Gloria Steinem? Right. Where are these barnacles on the USS Women's Rights? Where are they at? Where are all of these grifters that turned vaginas into a cottage industry? Where are they all at? Where's the Believe All Women crowd? Where are those broads at? Oh, is it only worth speaking out if you think that it's going to advance you in Hollywood? Is that what it is? Where are the celebrities reaching out in defense of Riley Gaines? All of these women. Is there, I mean, I really wish that there was an equivalent of the phrase cuck for women who have been cucked into silence by men in dresses. I really wish that there was like some kind of equivalent phrase that's applicable to that scenario. Feminism is a failure. Women have failed themselves. Third wave feminism is a mockery of order and the natural world. I'm going to tell you, I was enraged watching Gaines have to be escorted. And then she has to cower in a back room and the mob isn't going to let her go. I'm of the mindset that you hit someone, there should be two hits in consequence. Them hitting you and you hitting the floor. I'm so done with tolerating this violence that masquerades as activism. I am so tired of grown adult men who look like clowns running around lecturing to women, telling them that they don't understand what sexism is, telling women that they don't feel seen. No, we all see you, buddy. And we see your 5 o'clock shadow. We see all of it. It's violence against women and it's allowed. Now, here's what's even crazier. I have so much stuff to get into today with you all. Tying into this is this situation with Title IX. So we all know Title IX. I think one of the biggest measures of this was, you know, collegiate, right? Measure how much things are, what kind of money is being spent, you know, in colleges, you know, college sports, college recruitment, you know, scholarships, et cetera, et cetera. Title IX affected a lot of things. There was a time when women were being promoted to the detriment of men. And in some ways, it does feel like the trans movement, because it is more of a detriment to women than it is a detriment to men, I feel like, especially with regard to sports. Men who suck at sports treat women's teams as the JV league. Now, Title IX, get this. What was the basic definition of Title IX? Like, what was the basic guiding principle of Title IX? You all remember this? It was to promote what? The equality between the sexes, and it's specifically related to women. Correct? It was about women. Well, guess what? Now it's just about, even if you identify as a woman. Even if you just identify as that. So that's done. Title IX, the very thing that a lot of feminists glommed onto and were using it as a way, some of them went beyond making things equal. They went to get like revenge on dudes that they felt had held them back and went, I think, a little way above and beyond. Now it's being used to completely undermine women. We have come full circle. I saw this headline yesterday after we were off radio and my jaw hit my desk. I could not, but at the same time I couldn't. It was just something else. We're going to dive into all of this stuff. I just wanted to set some of this stuff up for you, because we're looking at what Tennessee law and order. Then did y'all see what happened? I wrote a piece out on it. If you subscribe to the newsletter, what was going down in Florida? Rebecca Jones, remember her? She's the convicted criminal who illegally accessed the Florida Health and Health Services database, the COVID database, and took information. So she was convicted. She accused Ron DeSantis yesterday of kidnapping her son because her son was all over social media in messages and public posts threatening to shoot up his school and stab his classmates verbatim. And so the students were terrified. They called police. Police arrived. They were investigating. She had to go turn her son in. She lied, said that DeSantis came to her house and kidnapped her son. I'm not even making this up. She lied and said police came to her house. And then the video came out of her turning him in. Oh my gosh, we got to break all this stuff down. I got a ton of headlines for you too. I mean, you know what? I know it's you know, my time right now, it's like noon central, but my gosh, you may need a mother's little helper to get through today. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana. That's fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So did you know that Coolio, that his cause of death was fentanyl overdose, according to his manager? This comes by way of BBC, who reported this last night. He said that they had been informed about the findings from the Los Angeles County coroner. And 6 months ago, he was found unresponsive on the bathroom floor of his friend's home, but it was apparently fentanyl overdose. Holy wow. He also was suffering from heart disease and asthma prior to that. But he had recently used PCP, and they said it was a result of the effects of a cocktail of fentanyl, heroin, and methamphetamines. That is awful. They said it was an accidental death. That's how they ruled it. Holy wow. Oh my gosh, they're ruining everything. Everything is getting ruined. I never liked Grease because I hate musicals, and I always thought Grease was super corny, and it just is like everything. I just can't, no. Mm-mm. But apparently is now there's a reboot and it's woke. It's going to be super woke. It's an all-female quartet, and they're going to explore sexual orientation, gender expression, and racial identity. Every show is about sexual orientation, gender expression, and racial identity. I know. And the characters sing a song about white supremacy. I'm not even making this up. That's literally what happens. Everything is horrible. Woke turns everything to feces. It absolutely does. And in foreign policy news, Taiwan's vice president and a leading House Republican both were linking Russia's invasion of Ukraine to China's ongoing threats against Taiwan following a meeting in Taipei aimed at strengthening the U.S.-Taiwanese partnership. Representative Michael McCaul from Texas was present at that meeting. And Vogue gave Stormy Daniels a cover. They never gave Melania one. Stay with us. If you're a bacon lover, today is your day. So whether alongside your eggs for breakfast, on a BLT, or wrapped around a filet, bacon is free for a year at Good Ranchers. Subscribe to get 24 ounces of Applewood smoked bacon added to each delicious box for a year. That's over $200 worth of bacon free. This is 100% American, high-quality bacon sourced from local farms with no added hormones or antibiotics. To subscribe, simply find your perfect box in the Good Ranchers curated selection of pasture-raised meat and wild-caught seafood. Select the frequency that works best for you, and then enjoy fewer trips to the meat aisle and more flavor at dinner. As long as you stay subscribed, your price will never increase. That's the Good Ranchers Price Lock Guarantee. Subscribe today at GoodRanchers.com for free bacon in every box for a year. Use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. Get the best meat America has to offer. Visit GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers. American meat delivered.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every single thing this guy does, he does with intention, because he's a weak guy masquerading as if he's a strong guy. So he takes on the most vulnerable consistently. Yet all of them are just bewildered that they're being used as a pawn in a political game to try to reshape higher education across this country. This is a full-on assault of higher education and academic freedom.
That's Gavin Newsom, the California governor, who was, I mean, I guess he's trying to like get his little campaign off of the ground. And so he packed up his little suitcase going to grandma's full of his hair products, and he decided to go, you know, trip and skip across the country. Welcome back to the program. It's I Hate Everything Friday. Dana Lash here with you. We're just a curmudgeon today. There's no adjective. We just hate everything. Come and hate everything with me and let's talk about it. So he's taking shots at what he thinks is going to be his competitor, DeSantis, who hasn't even declared, still just doing his thing. He's trying to get a partnership of other governors to implement these policies. Like, you know, he's actually trying to create a stronger Republican Party, stuff that we bitch about all the time. I mean, it's nice to see a politician being a little bit proactive and actually going out there and like doing something about it. So he's that's what his like travel is about. He came out with a book. It was like the blueprint for what they did in Florida. And then he's been trying to get these other governors, and everyone wants to sit here and characterize it however which way they want. But he's been trying to get these other governors to sign on to it. He's been pretty successful, except for the governor in our state, Kane.
Yeah.
Just going to cock my head ever so slightly and stare intently into the camera for a second. And then now you got Gavin. What is Gavin Newsom doing? I mean, he doesn't have, what is he running on? I don't know. I don't know what he's running on. I mean, this is all he's really got to do. Well, I'm a Democrat and I've got lots of money. And that immediately gets him the vote in California.
I mean, if you were just a standard voter, you know, in the nation, and you're looking at which governor run their states better, it's a no-brainer for me. An absolute no-brainer.
Now, speaking of Florida, golly, did you guys see this last night? So let me give you some background. I sent this out in a piece to our subscribers. And it's about, you guys remember Rebecca Jones? Rebecca Jones is the convicted criminal who was charged and convicted of illegally accessing, criminally accessing, the Florida Department of Health's COVID database, and she illegally downloaded data. And then she was trying to say that they were hiding COVID numbers, and it was entirely disproven. I mean, completely disproven. And she was convicted, right? So she's the progressive felon who's convicted last year of criminally accessing all of this stuff. She, all of a sudden, I started seeing these articles from Miami Herald. Ron DeSantis kidnaps Rebecca Jones's son. The Miami Herald's original piece was 13-year-old son of Rebecca Jones, whistleblower who clashed with DeSantis, arrested over memes. Now, there was a Republican who was arrested for memes, which was, that was stupid just the other day. I'll talk about that later. But I mean, the left actually did that. They also arrested a former president on nothing, but I digress. And then she tried to fundraise off it. So the Miami Herald's just going full hog with this, right? Oh my gosh, Ron DeSantis straight up went to the Jones house, snatched up her son. Oh my gosh. Over memes. You guys know what memes are. I feel like I have to explain this for the really stupid drive-bys that run defense for Rebecca Jones. They're the little images with the words on them, that, and they're funny. Okay, that's just someone to, that's, it's like a, it's a visual joke, and it perfectly describes a feeling or something happening at that particular time, and it goes viral. That's me. Anyway, so she's telling everyone, oh my gosh, he was arrested. He was sharing memes on Snapchat. Sharing memes on Snapchat? Kill her, no. Oh, yes. Is that really what she was? I mean, this is how Yahoo News was saying, they reported, oh, he was arrested over memes. Miami Herald, arrested over memes. Memes, arrested over memes. Memes, memes, memes. All right, well, what's the meme? Let's go look and see what the meme is, okay? So here was the meme. The meme was repeated messages and public posts wherein he said this, quote, I want to shoot up the school. If I get a gun, I'm going to shoot up. I'm getting a Wrath and Natural Selection shirt, so maybe I don't think many people I know what the Columbine shooters look like. Okay, so it's been like 3-4 weeks since I got on my new antidepressants, and they aren't working, but they're supposed to by now. So I have no hope in getting better, so why not kill the losers at school? And then he was sending other messages to students, apparently telling them he was going to stab them and other... I mean, that's just some of it. Apparently, that's what they call memes now.
That's a meme?
That's a meme. It's actually not a meme under Florida law. Their state statute actually criminalizes, and it's a felony to... transmit through any digital means to threaten to kill somebody like this, to any kind of death threat, any kind of threat of violence through digital means, a felony. So I know she, Rebecca Jones, was pointing out and was trying to say that this was Ron DeSantis that kidnapped her son, but it was students, classmates of her son, who freaked out and notified authorities. That is who told police. So police showed up to investigate. And there were, I mean, there's some screenshots of this circulating on social media. She, Rebecca Jones also said, she also came out there and claimed that DeSantis, her son was taken out of her house. But then video came out of her showing up at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, turning her son in. Okay. Then she tried to fundraise off of it. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a militant trans activist target a church and a school and kill six people. And this broad's fundraising off of her son threatening to do the same. Democrats went to the mat for her last night. What is it about this chick that they feel like they got to protect? She's not in public office. She's a disgrace. What do they get? I don't understand this. She said that, she says, quote, "My family is not safe. My son has been taken on the governor's orders, and I've had to send my husband and daughter out of the state for their safety. This is the reality of living in DeSantis's Florida. There is no freedom here, only retaliatory rule by a fascist who wishes to be king." So here's the, I mean, I have in the, on my Substack, I linked the arrest warrant, you know, all of this stuff. I linked all of that. And I mean, it shows, I mean, the police investigated that they, it's not, I don't know why she thinks that this is a witch hunt from DeSantis. He had nothing to do with this. I'm sure he didn't even know about it. It was the police who investigated and they determined that it was the threats, her son's threats were actionable. According to the probable cause affidavit, they said that they had received a call from a deputy at the school regarding information he had received from students at East Bay K-8 about a possible school shooting at the Holly Navarre Middle School. The deputy stated the students specifically saw those words and the initials, which is used for the school, on the social media posts. They said they spoke to the students. They got screenshots of it. They identified the students as Jones' son. And then there was others. There was one meme that showed a brain with the brain saying, "Reach for the officer's gun." And underneath was a caption that said, "Me every time I see school security." So but she overlooks all of the messages and everything else that this kid said. So all of this is actionable. And so that they said that it was a former student who was recently withdrawn to attend homeschooling. And so they went, they had all of it. They listed everything. I mean, they decided they needed to, it was a deadly serious threat. This was not sharing memes. This was a legitimate deadly threat. And the only publication that actually reported did the job of reporting was the Pensacola News Journal. Pensacola News Journal wrote an actual story. They said the officers told her that a warrant was issued for her son's arrest. That's what ended up happening. I mean, he was threatening to, quote, kill the losers at the school. That's not a meme. So the teenager appeared in detention, was turned into the sheriff's office, appeared in detention via Zoom yesterday. They placed on home detention release with a monitor. He was prohibited from possessing anything, even utilizing the internet for anything other than school purposes and having contact with anyone from the middle school. And somehow Jones and Democrats are blaming this on DeSantis. And I can't even believe that that's an actual real sentence that I just had to say. I thought Democrats were serious about preventing school shootings. Is this different too? Because if it's the son of a prominent Democrat, then it's fascist to investigate and follow the law. I'm curious. Like, Democrats are all out there, "We have to take all of your guns to protect the kids." But then also Democrats, "How dare you investigate threats to shoot up a school because the suspect is a prominent Democrat's son? How dare you?" I guess, again, like I said, I guess they don't really want to stop school shootings. Guess they're not really serious about any of this. What a garbage mother. I mean, I actually feel bad for the kid because his mom's fundraising off of what he did. And she's drawing more attention to it with her ridiculous behavior. She's the one who made all these accusations and lost her mind. The only reason that anybody knows about this is because she lost her mind and began accusing the governor's office of it, saying that her son was kidnapped, and then lying and saying that he was arrested, that they came to her home when she actually showed up, video proof that she went and turned him in. Every single job this woman has held, she's been fired and criminally charged. Every job. I think she's nuts. I think she needs care just as much as her son does. I mean, this is, I don't know why they are treating her like some kind of American folk hero, though, the left. This is like the same thing. Look at the Riley Gaines situation that we were talking about just last hour. A man in a dress hits Riley Gaines twice, tries to beat her up because she was simply speaking at SFSU about defending women's sports. And the left is either defending it or they're just not addressing it. So violence against women is okay if it's a man in a dress, if it's someone on the left doing it. And apparently, Democrats are only concerned about any kind of school shootings or violence at school so long as it doesn't involve the offspring of a prominent Democrat. These people are not consistent about a single damn thing. Not a single thing. And just like in Tennessee, they're losing their minds because you had three lawmakers that broke the rules. They knew the consequences of doing this. They knew that there would be consequences of leading a destructive, violent mob. Don't tell me they weren't. I've seen the video where they're shoving and slapping cops. I've seen it. Everybody has seen the video. Videos. Not peaceful protests. There's consequences for this stuff. They meet the consequences, and you got Barack Obama out here tweeting this, quote, "What happened in Tennessee is the latest example of a broader erosion of civility and democratic norms. Silencing those who disagree with us is a sign of weakness, not strength, and it won't lead to process." Dude, you legit worked with Russians. Your party and your successor, wannabe successor, worked with Russians, spied on private citizens, lied to a FISA court so you could surveil private citizens, and you arrested a former president off of pettiness with nothing else. Shut up. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
With the enactment of a new law in Indiana, 14 states have now banned gender-affirming health care, while some of these laws are currently blocked by courts. This is a dangerous attack on the rights of parents to make the best health care decisions for their own kids.
Yeah, but that's a problem a lot of times.
According to the Human Rights Campaign, more than 50% of transgender youth in the U.S., which is estimated to be more than...
The problem is that a lot of times, the parents aren't told. So now, wait a minute, now you want the... Wait, you want the parents involved now? I'm so confused because the other episodes of this great soap opera that I've seen, they don't want parents involved. Like if it has to do with books and libraries, etc.
Yep.
Look, I've got an ichthus tattoo. I have my favorite Bible verse, Ephesians 6, 12 going through 13. And I couldn't have gone and gotten these when I was under 18. That's, you have to have, I don't even think you can do it with parental permission. Not that I've checked into it. I haven't like Googled, can I take my kid to get a tattoo? I haven't done that. But I mean, I couldn't even, when I was a kid and I wanted to get my ear pierced, I wanted to get my ear pierced up on my cartilage and I wanted to go to Claire's Boutique in the mall to do it. And my mom said no. I literally did it in my own house. I went to my bed. My cousin was on the floor like crying because she's like, I can't believe there's so much blood. Why are you doing that? And I just pierced my ear because my mom wouldn't let me. So, but this is okay. If you want to chop off your Frankenbeans and your mammary glands, that's okay. I just, I don't know. I'm like confused where Democrats are on this. Like they want to have books that are inappropriate to be in children's libraries, to be in children's libraries without either parents' knowledge or consent. But it's just so inconsistent. It's the worst soap opera ever. Inconsistent. Okay, so coming up, we got a lot. So you thought the Rebecca Jones story was over? It's not. Because Miami Herald decides to go all Leroy Jenkins on it. So we're going to talk about what that means. We're also going to get into all of the latest because Riley Gaines was getting attacked, literally physically, by a dude in a dress for speaking out for women's sports. We have that. We have a whole bunch of stuff to hit. Don't go anywhere. Second hour on the way. Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This Striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double stack magazine holds 15+1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
But I wanted to talk about the bans on gender-affirming care for minors. We have a 9-year-old trans child who right now doesn't need anything medically. You know, we affirm their pronouns. We let them wear what they want to wear. If they want a different name, obviously we're going to support that. But they're approaching puberty. And if we lived in any of, how many did you say, 11? 11 states that currently have bans or restrictions on gender-affirming care for minors, our child would have to go through the wrong puberty.
The wrong puberty? The wrong puberty. Wrong puberty. Okay. You're going to have to queue. I'm going to have to like go to my Enya place. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour. Do you ever hear something and you're like, did I just accidentally get drunk without any alcohol being around? Because sometimes it just seems like that. Dana Lash, your bewildered curmudgeon here with you this Friday. Good Friday. Bad Friday. But it'll be a fantastic Sunday. So this was an activist who was speaking about, obviously, their 9-year-old child, nine, could lose, the phrase was lose access to puberty blockers. I cannot, that is so dangerous to just pump hormones full of kids. Or pump kids in, with hormones, you know what I mean? I that's not care. That's abuse. I mean, hormones, aren't they like controlled substances? Isn't that stuff like a controlled substance? Yeah. I mean, you can't just like go on Amazon and be all, I'm going to get me some hormone. I mean, you can't really do that, can you?
I don't know. I'll check.
I think that's a controlled substance and for a reason. Wrong puberty. I do think it's a mental illness. The consequences of playing with a healthy child's hormones and natural growth could be devastating for them. That's not informed consent. I listen to, you know, these speakers who talk about this stuff, and I don't find any kind of, I don't see any of them speaking from a place of expertise on any of this. Do you trust any of these people to sit here and talk about what is going to benefit kids when it concerns hormones? I mean, good grief. There isn't any study at all whatsoever that has been done on the long-term effects of what hormones, especially abuse like this at such an early age, what this does to children's bodies, or what other side effects could emerge as a result of this. I mean, there's nothing there. It's unbelievable. And so this latest, golly, stunning to me. This latest, I wanted to share this with you because we were talking about this Rebecca Jones story, which I'll go back to later. Her son had threatened to shoot and stab students at their school. The police got involved. The only reason anyone even knows about it is because she flipped out and said it was DeSantis who kidnapped her kid and that it was all his fault. And the Miami Herald ran defense for her. Miami Herald ran defense for, which is amazing to me, raged because students reported her son for death threats. This is 2 weeks after a militant trans activist went and shot up a church in a school, Christian school, killing six. And then just last night, and we played video of this in our first hour, you have championship swimmer Riley Gaines, who was speaking about the importance of protecting women's sports. And if you remember, she ended up losing to Leah Thomas, the man who cosplays as a woman and wants to compete in women's sports. He treats women's sports like the JV league. She was speaking out at SFSU, and she's attacked by a violent trans mob, trans activist mob, and a man in a dress hits her twice. And then we got this headline. Yesterday, a transgender suspect with a communist manifesto was arrested for planning shootings at schools and churches, said police. A number of different sources on this, including Ryan Savadera. Law enforcement officials in Colorado arrested an individual who was in possession of a communist manifesto. He was for allegedly planning mass shootings at schools and churches in the area. And news of it was made public yesterday. The arrest, though, happened on March 31st, days after the transgender terrorist targeted the Christian school and church in Nashville. The 19-year-old was charged with criminal attempt to commit murder in the first degree, two counts, criminal mischief, menacing, interference with staff, faculty, or students of educational institutions. The killer is a biological male who wants to be a female and uses she, her pronouns. Jeez. The suspect was targeting a number of schools, a middle school, an elementary school, a high school. Other targets were churches, reported KRDO. A family member was the one who turned the suspect into police. The family member called 911 and said that the individual, a 19-year-old boy, was going to target and was going to kill some people, was going to shoot up a school, and that they had severe anger issues. Now, according to the Colorado Gazette, this individual, the spokesperson for the Judicial District Attorney's Office there, said the individual was in the process of transitioning. And when they went to this person's house, and this is Colorado Gazette, when they went to the house, I mean, it was like a hoarder house, apparently. The place was just full of trash. Police said trash piled up all around the house to where it made it hard to walk inside. Daily Wire said that the home had numerous containers filled with half-eaten food, mold growing inside, and numerous alcoholic beverage containers laying around the house. And the suspect had allegedly punched holes in the walls inside the house and ripped a door off the hinges. So when law enforcement was apparently questioning the suspect whether or not he was going to shoot up a school, he apparently visibly shook his head yes. Said he was planning the attacks for over a month, was writing a manifesto, all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, this is, so there was the copycat. Golly. Another transactivist terrorist. At what point are we going to say that the militant, this activist community, because I got to be real with you, I know that there are people out there who are of one sex and they want to identify something else, but they don't believe that other people should be forced into accepting their self-perception. I think they are very few. I mean, I engage, and I engage with a number of them and talk with a bunch of people who have this or dealing with this or however you want to describe it on social media, on Twitter. And they've been speaking out against a lot, like, for instance, the Riley Gaines thing and everything else. But my experience has been that they are the minority. I mean, everything else, I mean, they are just overwhelmed in number by the people who are incredibly vitriolic and even violent. Is that your, I mean, I think that's a pretty sound assessment. I mean, there's one thing with grown people making decisions to do things themselves of their own free will and then not demanding that everyone else, you know, adopt that self-perception. That's one thing. I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue when you're talking about engaging in unnecessary surgery on healthy kids, abusing hormones that's going to give them so many problems later on. Oh my gosh. And then stuff like this, where you have women who go to colleges to speak about protecting women's sports and they get assaulted by dudes in dresses. I mean, for the love. That, obviously, we all have issues with that. Apparently, though, the left doesn't really seem to have those issues. Do you know that the vice president is apparently headed to Nashville today? Let me pull this up. She's going to meet with the Tennessee Three, two that were in the state capitol, the ones who were expelled because they broke the rules, and then they're trying to pretend that they didn't break the rules and that they're being punished for their free speech and not for leading a violent mob into the capitol and disrupting legislative business. And she's going to go, and I'm sure she's going to talk about gun control and all of this stuff. It's described by USA Today as a hastily scheduled trip. And she wants to, quote, lift the voices of all these people, blah, 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 blah. I'm wondering why doesn't she going to stand with those Democrat lawmakers that let a mob in. She's not going to go and stand with the victims' families at the Covenant Christian School. She's not going to go and stand with the family who lost their little girl because the dad was really the target. Not going to go stand with them. There's no tweets for them. There's nothing from the administration for them. Nothing from Joe Biden. Nothing from Kamala Harris. These people don't care about solutions. They don't care about saving lives. I don't believe they do. I genuinely do not believe that they care about saving lives. I don't think they care. I think their only focus is on winning elections and gaining power. They just want power. And they'll throw some lip service to this issue or that issue. But they don't care enough to actually deliver for their base. They don't care enough. Why then, pray tell, did they not do anything when they controlled the House and the Senate and the White House? They had literally, I mean, no opposition. But they didn't do it because they don't want to. And that's the truth of the matter. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so now apparently sleeping too much is linked to 2 times higher stroke risk. According to a study coming from researchers at the University of Galway, Ireland. They analyzed data from 5,000 people, Kane. And those sleeping 9 hours a night were twice as likely to have a stroke. Wait, whoa. I always thought they were like, get your 8. If you can go a little more, get that. Right. Isn't that what we were told?
Yeah.
So what? Scientists are saying getting too much can be harmful. Everything is going to kill you. Let's just go ahead. They said participants in the survey who slept more than 9 hours per night had double the risk of suffering a stroke compared to those who had the standard 7 hours. People who also slept fewer than 5 hours per night were 3 times more likely to have a stroke. That was observational. They noted the caveat with that. That study meaning it couldn't prove whether too much or too little was making it more likely. So, like 7, 8 is the number, I guess?
There's a window.
Don't sleep fewer than these hours or more than these hours or you'll die. Okay, the headline. This Japan's bear meat vending machine proves a surprising success. A bear meat vending machine. Why do they get this and we don't? The machine in the northern prefecture of Akita sells locally killed wild bear captured by hunters. So they have they have fresh bear meat in a vending machine. So wait, they got the Japanese toilets and they got bear meat vending machines? Seriously? Why does Japan get this stuff? Why did they have this and we don't? What if I wanted to go and get some bear meat? What? I mean, out of a vending machine. That's what I'm talking about. The easy accessibility. So they said that the animal rights campaigners are clueless, condemn it. But the meat comes from bears from a local hunting club who are permitted only to go for a number of bears. And they do this to make sure that they're managing populations, you morons. Moving on down the line. A 78-year-old Missouri woman. She was accused of bank robbery. Again. This is Pleasant Hill, Missouri, Kane. You know, most 78-year-old women, maybe they like knit or play Scrabble or bake some cookies, you know, quilt. Not this one. Not this Pleasant Hill woman. She is 2 years ago at the age of 75. They arrested Bonnie Gooch in Lee's Summit. This is like near where my family, I got family up around her and her. So in Lee's Summit for a different bank robbery. So I have a cousin. Gooch was charged with stealing and later convicted. Her sentence was suspended. She was ordered to have supervised probation that expired in November 2021. So now, she apparently tried to rob a Guido's pizza place. And he was driving into work. She was getting out. And he goes, I thought, what the heck, an old lady? Said Justin Lewis, the manager. And yeah, it was an old lady. And then Gooch hit the Bank of the West in Lee's Summit. Her son called authorities, stated his mom was off her rocker. She left the house mad, saying she was going to rob a bank, and she literally did it. And she also wore an N95 mask. I just can't. I can't. Man, I can't. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Once you turn it over, it's just like what we're doing in Ukraine. We give Ukraine artillery ammunition, Stinger anti-air missiles, Javelin anti-tank. It's their stuff at that point, not the Americans. It's their stuff. That stuff belonged to the Afghans. And so this idea, this argument is just ludicrous that we left millions of dollars of stuff in Afghanistan. We didn't. We turned it over, as the previous administration would have done too, because part of their thinking was they were going to have to turn this material over. It was turned over appropriately and carefully and deliberately with the Afghan National Security Defense Forces.
Wow. So, wow. That's John Kirby. The idea that we left there is ludicrous. See, it's not leaving it there if we gave it to them. Ha, 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 ha. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. Jiminy Christmas came. I'm so glad it's Friday. It's like all the dumb stuff backed up and decided to rain all over us on Friday. The idea that we left millions of things there is just crazy. They're trying to rewrite this. I can't even believe what I'm seeing. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but this is wild. They're trying to rewrite the history on this. I mean, by literally saying, well, you know, it's really Trump's fault here. It's Trump's fault. And it's Trump's fault. The Biden White House released a report literally blaming all of it, every last bitty bit of it, on the previous administration, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, we've talked about this before. That makes zero sense at all whatsoever. Because he actually was not listening to the military, you know, leaders that were advising him, hey, maybe let's not do this, you know, maybe let's not just take everyone out and leave this vacuum of power. Let's not. And then, of course, you saw what happened. But the fact that they're trying to redo this, I wrote about this back in 2021. About the, I mean, it's the botching of it. Here's the gist of it. Biden has been trying to blame this on everybody from the Afghan military to Trump to the Doha agreement. The question was always not whether or not we were going to withdraw, but how we did. It always was how we were going to do it. Now, the Doha agreement, that was about stopping the Taliban from using Afghanistan as a large Airbnb as for their terror base. Like, you know, with like other like the other jihadi groups, well, in those two, like everyone was doing before 9/11. So back in before Trump left office, when he first got into office and was dealing with all of this, he withdrew all but 2,500 troops, left 2,500 as a residual force, right? And the Taliban at that point had refused to end their association with Al-Qaeda. And so the full withdrawal was unlikely still, but possible. The Taliban had not, I mean, you had two terror groups that weren't supposed to be talking, but they were. Biden was no more bound. And this is where this is so stupid. They sit here and they say that this was the previous administration. This was the previous administration. Biden wasn't, he was no more bound by the Doha agreement than Trump was to the Iran agreement from Obama's term or the Paris Accord. Here's the other thing. Please explain to me, if Joe Biden couldn't do anything and this was all Trump's fault, why did he extend the May deadline to September? Biden had already extended the May deadline to September, and then he ignored all counsel of his military advisors. Wall Street Journal has a great piece on that. He ignored all of the counsel of his military advisors who wanted to leave that residual force there in Kabul as a precaution. They wanted to increase diplomacy. You know, they sit here and they blame the Trump administration. Biden had no problem ending Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. Biden had no problem reversing Trump's position on the Paris Accord. So why is he now acting? He's still acting like this is, oh, well, I couldn't because the Doha agreement. That was the Trump amendment. It was the Doha. That's so stupid. He's dodging responsibility, plain and simple. Now, he was partly blaming the Afghan military, too, in the early days. And they were patterned after our own U.S. forces. But apparently, I mean, you have to realize, too, our practice in the United States. And this is why I say that, you know, you can't go anywhere else and be, you can't go to France and be French, you can't go to Italy and be Italian, but you can come to the United States and be American. We unite and organize around the principle of liberty. We don't organize around any kind of ethnic sect. We don't do that. That is not how Afghans operate. That's very different. You have all of these different tribal affiliations. Getting all of them to work for the common goal is very difficult. And also, you know what's difficult? If you're the Afghan military and you have your air support cut off by the new administration that came in, that makes you exponentially less effective also. So, no, I think it's despicable that they're doing this. Biden was the one who chose to close Bagram Air Force Base. He was the one who chose to close it even before we got all American personnel out. He was the one who chose to close it not only before we got all American personnel out, but all of our interpreters and our informants that helped protect our troops when we were over there on mission. We announced the full withdrawal. He had the cart before the horse. Now, we could not have left our military equipment that we taxpayers bought for the Taliban to take and potentially sell. And, you know, you'll probably see some reverse engineering from China. We didn't have to do that. We didn't have to keep prisoners alive in the prisons that the Taliban then freed and was adding to their armies. Biden did not want to give the required time for this to go smoothly as was originally designed. They have been trying to, since the smoke cleared, trying to manufacture the story that none of this would have happened had we not entered into the Doha agreement. And they sit here and go, oh, well, Trump began negotiations. I mean, that's really stupid. Because here's the thing. When you're in a conflict like that, it ends in three ways. You either lose, you negotiate peace, or you win. And we had already decided in Afghanistan that winning was not an option for us. We took that off the table. We decided we're not in this to win. We're not doing this. That's the politicians, not the hearts of the soldiers. That's the politicians. No one wanted to take the time or spend the money, or honestly, all you had to do was dismiss rules of engagement and let our people do what they do. But no, we didn't have the Democrats particularly don't have the stomach for that. So you're not going to win against people who are not just going to give up. So you have to negotiate something. That was the only thing that anyone that all of this political gridlock left our country with. That was it. That was it. I think it is. And Joe Biden is supposed to be the foreign policy guru. That's like me saying that I'm a football genius. Speaking of sports, I got to play this clip for you. This is so funny. Charles Barkley was having this conversation. He gave this interview where he was talking about why he carries his own soap with him. Every time he travels, he goes with his own bar of soap. And he's one of the funniest people out there. Listen to this. I was laughing so hard.
You know I travel with my own soap. You knew that, didn't you?
No.
I travel with a big bar of soap. I love soap.
Why? Are you afraid it's not going to be in the hotel?
Is there a reason? Yes, they started.
Dermatologically that you need specific soap?
Because these hotels started being cheap. Those bars ain't big enough. Because I almost had a couple accidents with the soap in hotels.
In what way?
Well, when I was washing a part of my body, I almost had a little incident.
What the heck are you talking about?
I almost had a little incident with those little bars of soap.
Almost lose it?
I almost lost it. And I was like, whoa, that was too close for comfort. So now I travel with my own big bars of soap.
That is so hysterical. Gosh, I feel like, I mean, I want to be like Shaq, come on. Or Charles Barkley. I want to be like, Barkley, come on. You got liquid soap. Come on, Shaq. You got liquid soap out there. Come on. Charles Barkley is hysterical. He's one of the funniest people. What was the other comment? Like, his whole thing when he was, they were talking about the Juicy Smollier story, and he was the one making fun of how they wrote a check and all this stuff. Charles Barkley is one of the funniest. He's sort of like a funnier Roy Kent, but for basketball in the United States.
Shaq cracking up at this when they cut back from the video of Barkley.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
so good.
Yes, I got to hear this. He was dying. Listen, it's just him dying laughing.
That happened on the steam room today.
We gonna get kicked out there. No. I'm kind of kidding.
He's crying. On, Chuck, he can't even talk.
No, don't go there because I got so many jokes and I don't want to get
a check. What happened? I almost lost the bar of soap.
When they laugh, oh man, he was crying. He couldn't even talk. Shaq couldn't even talk. He was crying, laughing so hard. You know what, though? Charles Barkley's not wrong. Most of the places, though, they only give you, you get the little bottles, right? You get the little bottles of stuff. Have you seen, okay. Sorry. Have you been in the hotels where you go into the shower and instead of you getting, I hate it when they give you the little bars of soap because you got to unwrap the paper. It just is horrible. The little, you know, liquid soap is better. But have you been in some of these like more, I don't know, modern hotels? And it is, it's like a giant community soap. That's like a, it's like a giant pump thing that's attached in the wall of the shower. Have you seen those?
Yeah, in the gym?
No, no. In the bathroom, the hotel, in your room,
oh, wow.
In a hotel. I like, we went in and, you know, I just, cause I went, whenever I travel in that, I don't like to, you know, be gone for long and I don't need anything fancy. I don't want to stay in like a hovel where, you know, I have to step over needles and feces, which would be anywhere in San Francisco at this point when I leave. But, you know, I just like want some place that doesn't have bed bugs. I just want to, you know. Anyway, you know, I walked in and I was like, oh, this is a really nice room. It was a new hotel. I can't remember where it was. And the first time I saw this was in Austin at a hotel in Austin, Texas. And they had, I went in and when I went in to shower, I was like, oh my, what? Because they had the shampoo and they had the soap and then the shampoo and then the conditioner. It was like a community size, but it was attached in like this modern dispenser, like what you would see in public, like in a public bathroom with just soap. And I'm looking, it's like, this is community soap. That was my first thought. I was like, this is, luckily I travel always with travel shower gel. Always. After, and I had started just a little bit before then because I hated the little soaps, but I started, especially after that, I'm like religious about it. Isn't that nasty still? Because I don't know what it is. It's the thought that that liquid, what that liquid in there has seen, Kane. I don't know. I just, right? I just don't know. It's weird.
I just like the idea of new soap or a new, you know, the little bottles of shampoo right? They give you. Or just, as long as it's a new bottle or a new thing of soap, I don't care.
Well, let's use the community soap. Let's get this out.
Never come close to losing the soap.
You're also not Charles Barkley, though. He's a large man.
That's true, but let's be real. Let's be real.
Anyway, I just can't. Am I being like too? I just hate the community soap thing. And the community, I don't use this shampoo and conditioner there. I never use hotel shampoo and conditioner. But the soap there, like when it's a community pump like that, this is like, no, no. And it, And especially if it's not even filled all the way, then that's like a statement of how many people have been right where you are using that soap and washing them. Oh, it's so bad. I can't. All right, we got to move. I'm grossed out now.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, we're going to start with what is literally called in the URL Scooter Man. A man shoplifted a scooter from Target, or as we sometimes say, Target, and then he assembled it literally right outside the store. Right outside the store. He took his stolen merchandise, assembled it right outside the store. I mean, that's 28-year-old transient. It was a $540 Razor brand electric scooter, and he ended up at Flagler County Jail on two misdemeanor counts. He said since he was homeless, he didn't have a way to get around. He needed a ride, so he lifted one. He was driving until 2018. He has numerous arrests for driving on a suspended revoked license. He was in drug court. He's been convicted of third-degree felony for cocaine possession, etc. It sounds like he's got a real issue, obviously, with drugs. It's kind of sad, though, too, in a way, isn't it? It is sad. I mean, he wasn't like buying dope or anything. He, you know, was trying to steal a scooter. It's just sad. That kind of stuff makes me, I'm sad. But why did you do it outside the store? I kind of got the impression that he would have gotten away had he not done that.
I think he thought he was going to get away faster. So that's why he assembled it right outside the store.
Okay. This one hurts me. A 66-year-old Palm Beach woman crashed a Rolls Royce through a backyard, knocked over a $3 million statue, then plowed through a fence and a seawall. Police said that she told them she has no memory of the accident. Her $400,000 Rolls Royce. Oh, my gosh. That hurt me. Oh, I can't even look at the picture of the car. It hurts my heart. That poor Rolls Royce.
Her insurance company is hardest hit.
Oh, my gosh. It was a 2021 Rolls Royce Dawn, And the woman was a local resident. She wasn't intoxicated. So they're wondering, she was not, they said that they took her to St. Mary's Medical Center for evaluation. They didn't say whether or not she was charged, but everything from the story and from what police, it's, I'm wondering if this was a medical issue. Because she said that, because it took place on a very affluent street just before 6 p.m. last Friday. And she made contact with the curb, ran into the statue. The owner was an identified $3 million coral art statue and then went over the seawall. Oh, my gosh. Thankfully, everybody's okay. And I hope she's okay, because it sounds like she had a serious medical issue, because they said she wasn't intoxicated at all. Stay with us. Third hour next.
All the gun laws we got in place didn't prevent it, did it? Neither will any new ones. Because here's the fact. The bad guy is going to get a gun no matter what law you have put in place. These juveniles shouldn't even possess a handgun. But they did. And I'll go back to you. Add your question. A simple burglary, as some people will say, but I don't consider anything simple when it comes to a burglary. The law allows me, I'll plaster their face up on this page, up on my page, up on media. I will hand it out if the law allows me, because parents have the right to know who their kids are hanging out with and preventing this.
Hmm. Whoo. God bless America. We need more people like the Marion County Sheriff, Billy Woods. He got mad because he was asked a question, a dumb question about the gun. Everyone focuses on the gun. It was a... two juveniles who were arrested in the deaths of three teenagers. They shot and killed them. It was a triple homicide. Horrible story. And he just wasn't having it. And he answered exactly as you ought to. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. Top of this third hour on this Friday. A good Friday, a bad Friday, but a wonderful Sunday. Teenager and 12-year-old, they were arrested in the teens' triple homicide in Central Florida. And the third was being sought in connection. And apparently the victims were involved with burglaries and robberies. Both the victims and suspects were allegedly affiliated with gangs. And he said that there was a trail of evidence left behind. I mean, it's sad. But he was right. And there was more from this too, Kane, as you pointed out, because he was saying to Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods, he said, one of his comments was, I'm a father. But here's the one thing my boys know. Growing up, the freaking barber had my permission to whip their, you know what. And he's right. You have some more of that, don't you?
Well, it was a 4-minute cut. So I didn't
isolate it. Yeah. And he's right. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it should work. That's called being an adult. It's called parenting. He ain't not having it. God bless him. Billy Woods, Marion County Sheriff. And that, it's sad. It was this triple homicide of Florida teens. It was a pretty rural community. Bodies began turning up. I mean, this was a weird story. And the kids, everyone was wondering, well, who's doing it? Who's doing this? And it turned out there were other kids doing it. It's wild. There were other kids doing it. He said parents have a right to know who their children are hanging out with. Parents' rights knowing and deciding with whom their kids associate. And they need to do that. That's what so much of this crime is, you know, gets into. You know what gets me? I told you earlier this week that we had an issue at my son's school, at his high school. And they had a speaker come in as part of the speaker series. And they were telling the class that, you know, they were, it sounded like some DEI kind of stuff, honestly, but they were telling them about, gender equity and all this other stuff. And they were talking about quote unquote gun violence. And they were pushing, the speaker pushed this talking point that I've heard so many times that, you know, the number one killer of children is firearms. Number one killer of children is firearms. And it's something that they keep pushing. I've seen this, you've seen it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the problem, though, with this statistic because it's inaccurate. It is a statistic that came back. What was this? This was Obama-Biden era when they first had the CDC look at all this stuff. This was at the same time they also had the CDC investigate defensive gun usage. And when the CDC found that, going along with other independent criminal researchers, that defensive gun usage outmeasured at an overwhelming, not even arguable, indisputable amount, criminal usage, they hid that. They hid it. They hid that survey. Remember, this was like a, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, this was a huge controversy. It's the second time they did that. So what they and other surveyors were trying to do so they could fabricate this talking point for the left and gun control activists is they include in the definition of children 18 and 19 year olds. Infants under the age of one is excluded, and that's something that Kaiser Health had done. And they removed infants under the age of one because of age-specific causes of death, unique age-specific causes of death. But they defined, and Snopes actually looked at this, and so did the New York Times, believe it or not. They included the definition of children as 18 and 19-year-olds. And when you look at the 18 and 19-year-olds, when you cross-reference, when you look at quote-unquote gun homicide, homicides involving illegally possessed, illegally used firearms, and you look at the publicly available data on criminal usage and on homicide, it's drug and gang violence, like almost 100%. Drug and gang, in fact, all of it's driven by drug and gang violence. And 18 and 19 year olds, they're only, I've never seen them classified as quote unquote children anywhere else except for the specific purpose of trying to inflate numbers so as to scare and fearmonger parents. Even Snopes had to acknowledge, based on the New York Times having to reluctantly write on this, that if you remove the 18 and 19-year-olds from the classification as children, and you only rely on under 18s, then guess what? Guess what the number one cause of death is for kids? Vehicle-related injuries. And then it gets into other stuff. Firearms isn't even in the top. But they include the 18 and 19-year-olds to lie to you. This is all hard data. If you don't believe me, by all means, I'll be your huckleberry and I'll sit back here and watch you look it up yourself. And then you can come back and you can say that I'm right. And I'll accept your apology. Because that's the way it is. I mean, it's this information is all hidden on the internet. Good heavens. But what gets me is that, you know, in my son's class, they had this guy walk in. And I was on the phone. And the teacher was very nice. I could tell immediately that they were a little nervous when I called them in. You know, I was saying that, you know, I don't think that we can't have propaganda masquerading as academics, you know, especially, you know, in the context of a Bible class that's unchristian. And I just very was just straight no chaser about it. And I, you know, had pressed upon the teacher and I was talking to one of the other higher ups in the school, too. I'm like, you know, in the statistic of the 18 and 9-year-olds and how this is the number one killer of kids and one of the other officials wanted to interject. And I just was like, no, I'm not going to entertain your opinion on what you think the fact is. I'm going to tell you what the fact is. And I broke it down just like this. And I'm like, so you can have a disagreement on, you know, whether or not you think that people should be able to own firearms or what type of firearms you want them to own. But if you're not doing it based on fact, if you're not doing it based on evidence, then your opinion is irrelevant and you should be immediately disqualified from this conversation. And you definitely shouldn't be walking into a classroom full of kids, particularly in the context of a Christian environment and a Bible class, and be sharing this information with them as though it is gospel truth. And definitely don't make that mistake when my child's in the class. So, I'm just, all of this, and this is what they keep pushing this. They've been pushing this after Nashville, and they were pushing this in this story too, originally, involving these teens. And then now look, they're all under the age of legal possession. Where are the parents at? Where are the, I don't know. I'm telling you, maybe some of us were raised differently. I have always been in my kids' faces. I have some very dear friends who parent very differently than I do. And there's just certain stuff that I just don't allow. I just do not allow it. And we've always run a really tight ship. It's interesting because my kids, particularly my oldest, who is of legal drinking age, has never had a drink. He says he's straight edge and never will. He just has zero interest in alcohol, zero interest in any of that. And not like I've ever, you know, pushed it or not. I never told him, you know, never said, you know. I mean, good heavens, we have wine at sometimes at dinner. We'll have wine at Easter. Have our Easter dinner, I'm sure. But and they do make, they're like, really, it's Easter dinner. But they facetiously say it. But we've always, sometimes I've always wondered, are we too strict? I think it's better to err on the side of being too strict than not strict enough. But I look at how are these teenagers under the age 18? Some of them are under 18. How are they running around like this without parents knowing what they're doing? I mean, it just shocks me. Especially now. You have all these apps where you can track where your kids are going. We didn't have any of that. Like us, I was towards the end of the age spectrum on Gen X. We didn't have any of this stuff. We didn't have Life 360. We didn't have these types of cell phones. We didn't have anything like that. Our parents had no idea where that. Kane, I could not have parented in that age. There's no way. Where is the oversight, the parental oversight? So that's the fact on that. So in case that ever comes up, you ever hear that talking point, that's what you tell them. Well, it's because they include 18 to 19 year olds, and they're including all of the drug violence and gang violence involved with 18, 19 year olds. And when you remove it, it drops. It ain't the number one killer of kids. And that's the only time that 18 and 19 year olds are ever called children. And if they push you back further, you can say, why don't you read this New York Times article about it, since apparently that's more of your leaning. Or here's Snopes, or here's USA Today. I mean, I can sit here and throw a million things at you. What do you want? They've had to reluctantly. You know why? Because they're losing people in the middle. When you have gun control activists that go out and they say these stupid things and people actually go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Let me look this up. It hurts their own cause. And there are at least some people on the left that are smart enough to realize this and are trying to get them to chill out on that, on lying a little bit. You're not winning anybody over on that. You got to think of a different argument. All right. I wanted to, we got some other things to hit. Good heavens. All right. This Title IX stuff. I wanted to get into this. We started the show with this video and that of Riley Gaines being attacked when she went to speak in protection of women's sports. So the Biden administration yesterday handed down proposed guidance that's going to permit public schools and colleges to ban transgender athletes from competitive teams, but they can't issue blanket bans. Now, it's being viewed, I don't think it's a compromise, but trans activists are viewing it as a compromise. The problem, though, is they're changing definitions of gender as well. That's the issue with this. I mean, the whole thing with Title IX, it was used to promote girls over boys for the purpose, initially they claimed, of making it equal. And then it was used to accommodate girls over boys to the detriment of boys. And now it's being used to end women's sports. The irony of ironies. We're going to talk about this. And we're also going to discuss this story that came out yesterday, Ukraine war plans leak. There was a leak prompting Pentagon investigation and involved NATO. Very interesting. We'll touch on that too. We got a lot to hit.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
We got some headlines here. We got our quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's quick five.
So, a couple things. This is a Texas man claims a little boy's ghost pushed a shopping cart into his $25,000 car and caused damage. He said, this is how he described it. Kobe Todd, what a name, from Pottsboro, Texas. He went ghost hunting and he said that it was a mischievous child ghost who pushed a shopping cart to fly his vehicle. And he says he knows the ghost. Or maybe, I mean, there's not a lot of reasons why. Like, maybe a shopping. I'm just saying, you know, maybe. I don't think he was. He said the damage was painful. It was like $25,000 worth of damage from a cart? He apparently has it on video, but I mean, it could be also too that, you know, make wind or I don't know. I don't know. A cow in the United Kingdom fakes being asleep. So it's a dairy cow. It fakes being asleep so it doesn't have to go in for milking. This actually comes from BBC and CNN, which is kind of funny. I didn't even know. I've never seen a cow do that, but that's kind of. Also, let's see. This is bosses want hard workers, Wall Street Journal says. So they're hiring older people. I mean, some companies are recruiting seniors on the premise that age equals a stronger work ethic. Wow. That's apparently something that is trending. It's starting to trend. Ugh. Starbucks customers, Starbucks, are complaining about stomach issues from the new olive oil infused coffee. Gee, you think? I would have also thought it would have been like the over roasted beans and everything else. That's why you should drink Black Rifle Coffee. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. Let's see. It's true. More than 6 teaspoons of sugar daily increases the risk of 45 different health problems. And it is so hard to get rid of sugar from your diet. This is a new survey that came out in the World Health Organization, which I don't like, but they did kind of glom onto it. It's not wrong, totally. Stay with us. More.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
When I was young, my only role model was my mom, who, with only a high school diploma, was one of the first African-American women hired at Bell South as a clerk. My mother's hard work has allowed me to stand here today to introduce the Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Kamala. I love this song. Yeah. Kamala. Man, that's rough. So that was the Vice President of the United States who had a little bit of difficulty getting introduced by the solar panel manufacturing plant employee who is introducing her. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. Bottom of this third hour. Man, that was funny. And it immediately made us think of all this stuff. All right. I've got some media stuff to get. Oh, man, just so much goofy thing. I just want to throw my brush or something. Oh, so ridiculous. They have because we've been going on this, looking at all the stuff that we discuss. I've been trying to organize it into, because it ultimately is this like three-pronged attack on the stability of the United States. We've talked about law and order. It's like under influence, unity, and economy. American influence abroad, our unity at home, and our economic success, which also is, you know, all of this is a national security issue. It's at some level. And so there was, we had talked about the Florida, the Rebecca Jones story. This Democrat that had been convicted of, she was a digital person with Florida Department of Health, and she had criminally accessed the Florida Department of Health database and actually downloaded data, and she was convicted of this. And she's apparently every single job that she's ever had, like the past like three big jobs she's had, she's been in trouble with the law with, or fired, or some charge with something. Anyway, so she's loved by the left for some reason. I have no idea why they run defense for this woman like this. But she had said yesterday that her son had been kidnapped by Ron DeSantis. And arrested for memes. And then it turns out that students at the school where her son went were upset because he was messaging students and posting publicly on Snapchat that he was going to shoot up the school and stab students. And it wasn't just images. He was actually texting, messaging stuff, typing it out. It wasn't just memes. And so she made up this big story saying that the police came to her house and took her son, all this. And in fact, then video was released showing closed circuit TV footage showing her taking her son in to turn him in for this. And then all of the arrest warrant was released. And then the actual messages and all and the screenshots of that started to emerge. And it just looks horrible for her. But what gets me even more so is a Miami Herald, when they first ran this, they ran it as though it was gospel truth. Absolute gospel truth. And then they kept trying to double down on it. they tried to change somehow their story. They were trying to change how they had their headline. They tried to edit memes and put postings in, because memes made it sound like it was entirely, I mean, it makes it sound like it's totally innocuous and it's just all just, you know, a nothing burger. And then but the media gave it serious treatment, and they like reported this as though it was a serious issue. And then the reporters that were sharing the story were being criticized, and then they had fits, and they were, crazy. So it was just, to see media behave like this was it was just absolutely ridiculous. And then they kept doubling down. Now, this, because she had said, and by the way, Pensacola Journal did a really, really good job of reporting on that story. But yeah, the Miami Herald was trying to retcon the history of this. And then they were getting upset when people were calling it out. Now, here's something else. There are things that Elon Musk does at Twitter that I like and things that I don't like. And I just want to bring my hands over or just scream. So, for instance, I didn't like how apparently he's feuding with Substack. And you guys know our newsletter that for our listeners is on Substack. So apparently Twitter is restricting any link that has any link from Substack. And you also can't embed. And I use Twitter as kind of like a news service more than anything. You can't embed tweets. They've restricted the ability Twitter has to have their tweets embedded into Substack. So if you're just dropping in video, you know, especially if you're treating it as like a news or a wire service. And that was apparently in response to, which Substack launched this thing called Notes that some people are calling like a micro Twitter or a new, I don't know how you could be micro, a version of Twitter, which I don't see it like that. I'm probably not even going to use it ever. But why do we, I mean, I'm just so tired of just operate the business and don't, I just can't stand it. But I do like this that he did. So this started really a couple of days ago. They were, Musk and I guess some of the new developers were looking at the verified check marks. And you know how you would see if you're on social media, particularly if you're on Twitter, and if you see any tweets from a Chinese publication, the publications in China, particularly a couple of them, are literally run and planned by the CCP. They're pretty much in the newsroom. And so they have this little gray area in the bio that says state-affiliated media. And it's done with, you know, like Pravda, it's done with, what is it, the Beijing, what's the big publications out of Beijing? There are a number of these publications that have that. Well, NPR they were infuriated because they had that slapped to their account. And they tried changing their account to say that their biography on their Twitter account, saying they were an independent organization. NPR says they're going to abstain from tweeting via their flagship account as long as the state-affiliated media label remains. Well, you are state-affiliated media. You are literally run by the government. You're funded by taxpayers against our will. You're funded by the government. Look, I'm going to tell you something, that if I want to support like NPR or PBS, because PBS does the masterpiece stuff and some of this stuff's pretty good, I'll donate. If I want to watch it that damn bad, I'll donate. I don't mind. I will pay for what I want. I am transactional. I have never listened to NPR a day in my life. Ever. I have never listened to it. I don't know anybody that they have on there. The closest that I came to it ever was SNL back when I was a kid making fun of it with the sweaty ball segment. But they are state-affiliated media. So the BBC got that label too. They lost their minds. We're not state-affiliated media. Literally, they're run by the British government. You're state-affiliated media. Just because you're not like the CCP doesn't mean that you're not still state-affiliated media. If you are funded and run by the government, you're state-affiliated media. But do you see how they realize? They know that that hurts our credibility. You hurt your credibility, really. But, I mean, the NPR is absolutely the definition of state-affiliated media. Oh, my gosh. They have been livid over this. So they said that they're not gonna tweet out of their thing. And they changed it to say, we're an independent news organization. No, you're not. You are not an independent news organization. You don't independently earn money. You don't independently support your own entity financially. You're on the teat of the taxpayer. Against our will, we have to fund crap radio. They don't do any of that stuff. They don't operate like stuff on NPR doesn't operate like we do. I mean, we actually have to like perform, and we can't suck. Otherwise, we don't do well. NPR doesn't matter. Funded by the government doesn't matter. They can sit here. Remember, NPR was the same entity that told you they didn't think that the Hunter Biden laptop story was of general interest. Remember that? We just don't think that that's a legitimate story. That was NPR that said that. They didn't pursue it because of that. That was the reasoning they gave. They were roundly mocked for it, but that's the reason that they gave. That's state-funded media. A couple of other things to hit as we roll towards the end of this third hour. We've hit the Title IX. IRS is planning on increasing audits tenfold. I'm sure you've seen that. Then there was this headline. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, there. Of course you know. This was all coming. This is all part of the plan. The 87,000 agents, the IRS overhaul. This comes by way. There's a couple of different credits here. Washington Post and MSN. And Reuters also has a version, but I actually have not read that version. But they said that they're increasing tax audits tenfold, according to the new strategic operating plan. They're going to use that $80 billion in new funding for tax services to claw back unpaid balances. They're also digitizing tax processing, and they want to develop a government-backed online tax filing software with the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act. So that's what they're looking at, and they're really looking at getting this going. They're very excited, even though we really don't even need, you know, we don't need it because we've had record revenue, fewer taxes. And then this story from the New York Times. I don't know if you saw this, Kane. It's quite interesting. Ukraine war plans leak prompts Pentagon investigation. Subhead came out last night. Classified documents detailing secret American and NATO plans have appeared on Twitter and Telegram. Over at New York Times, they said classified war documents detailing secret American and NATO plans for building up the Ukrainian military ahead of a planned offensive against Russian troops were posted this week on social media channels, according to senior Biden administration officials. Now, the Pentagon is said to be investigating who may have been behind the leak, which appeared on Twitter and Telegram. And they have about, that's pretty widely available in Russia. Telegram is about 500 million users. Now, military analysts said the documents appear to have been modified in certain parts from their original format, overstating American estimates of Ukrainian war dead and understating estimates of Russian troops killed. Now, the analyst, this is the New York Times, said that the modifications could point to an effort of disinformation by Moscow, but the disclosures in the original documents, which appears photographs of charts of anticipated weapons deliveries, troop and battalion strengths, and other plans, represent a significant breach of American intelligence in the effort to aid Ukraine. And they said that they're aware of it. The deputy press secretary of the Pentagon said that they're aware of it. They're reviewing it, etc. And apparently the new offensive, Ukraine's new forthcoming launched offensive is, I guess, what, maybe in the next month or so, I guess, is what they're anticipating. So because the documents are 5 weeks old, the Times says they offer a snapshot of time, the American and Ukrainian view as of March 1st as to what the troops might need for their campaign. How did this get leaked? And why? I mean, I think it's fair to say I don't trust anybody in this at all. In this issue, I trust no one. I don't trust a single person in this issue. But keep that near your stovetop. Just an interesting interesting thing. I'll make sure to include this in the next email that goes out to our subscribers. We have today's stupidity on the way, and you don't want to miss. Still lots to come.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we're going to fight hard to get him back.
Gloria, why do you feel like there was a difference in the outcome between you and your colleague?
I will answer your question. It might have to do with the color of our skin.
That it didn't. It really didn't. Not at all. Well, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And that was, of course, one of the Tennessee Three. She was the one who didn't, I don't know why they didn't, these three lawmakers in Tennessee that led, they were the ones that led the violent mob through the Capitol. They broke the rules, and that's one of the consequences for the rules. One other quick headline. Apparently, Will Fisher Distributing, located in Springfield, Missouri, they canceled all upcoming appearances of the iconic Anheuser-Busch Clydesdale team. They said, and this is all because of the Bud Light thing, the Bud Light debacle. Interesting. Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Now, of course, Sunday's Easter Sunday, and today is widely referred to as Good Friday. And it's weird that we call it good. I always thought it was weird that this day was referred to as Good Friday. I mean, we call it good, but it's, I don't know. I think it comes from God's Friday as opposed to Good Friday. I mean, there's been a lot of writing on that, but however you refer to it, I think kind of God's Friday I like better. But I want to just remind everyone, just as all of this other stuff, and this isn't, I know how the left acts, and I've been around the left, I've been doing this in the streets since I was, you know, barely 21 years old, so I know. But remember that when Jesus was together with his disciples, and what was one of the biggest commands, what was the command that he gave before they parted ways, before he went to pray, before Bad Friday? He was demanding, and this is the most often repeated command in the Bible, to love one another. Love one another, even if it diminishes yourself, to love one another. The left will never do it, and that's their weakness. And I hate politicizing it like that, but how else am I supposed to look at it with everything that we've seen today and the past several couple of years? But I don't think we need to lose sight of that. Because when you lose sight of that, you have to question which side you're playing on. And I never, ever don't want to be on the team that's not God's, that's for sure. So keep that in mind. It is a selfless and often self-diminishing love that it was what Jesus called for before he went. And technically, I mean, we're all responsible for putting him up there. So keep that in mind as we go towards Easter Sunday. And I hope you have a wonderful Easter. Today in stupidity, Kane, I robbed you a bit, but...
We don't have time to play the audio, unfortunately, but it is John Kirby. He was talking to Ducey, and Ducey was asking him about who's going to get fired over the incompetency, at the Department of Justice and things like that. And, of course, it's nobody. But that's government.
There you go. There you go. Folks, that does it for us for this week. Have a blessed Easter. The battle's been won. He is risen. God bless. I'll be back with you on Monday.